chapter 3. We'll look at this together. These folks got stuck in traffic. And glad you made it, though. Let me show you what my text is here in verse 4. When Christ, our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. I want to talk about Christ, our life. Christ, our life. You know, life is relative. Life is relative. Now, when you say, what do you mean, preacher? What do you mean life is relative? Well, there are some people who have life, technically speaking, but they aren't living. Machines keep them alive. Keep them breathing. Keep their bodies functioning. And then, you know, there are people who, through this sickness, they have no quality of life. None whatsoever. Just laying there in a machine doing everything for them. And how about people in nursing homes? You go in nursing homes and there's people who've been in there for years who have no idea who they are or anybody else, and they lay there for years and years. Would you call that life? Would you call that life? And then some people live a life of debauchery, perversion. I don't want to live a life like that. Some live a life of pride and self-righteousness, trusting in themselves. God saved me from that. I have enough, but I certainly won't want to live that life. God saved me from self-righteousness and pride. And some live a life of partying, riotous living, and call it really living. Let me show you something over in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Some live a life of what they call party and righteous living. That's all they live for, you know. Friday night, Saturday night. Boy, we're going to... They got a song called, I'm going to get my drink on. I heard somebody talk about that the other day. Going to just really, really live it up. They think that's really living. But look what Simon Peter said here in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse chapter 4 and verse 3. Chapter 4 and verse 3, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. And they think it's strange that you don't run with them anymore. That you don't live the same life. And they speak evil of you. You used to do it. What's the matter with you now? You're self-righteous? No. God gave me a new heart. I'm not a hog anymore. I don't want to run that life. And then some live a life of hatred and misery. They're hating and hateful and hating everybody and everything. They live a life of hatred and misery. That's why Paul said, hating and hating one another. Never satisfied with anyone or anything. There's some people that way. And then there are those who live a life no different than an animal. They just get up, they eat, they sleep, they go through life unconscious of anything besides their life, and just eat, sleep, and drink, and go on about their life. No concept of God never enters their thought, nothing at all, except they think this is the only life that they are. And then lastly, some lead a very religious life, like the Pharisees, deceiving and being deceived. Now, do you understand what I mean that life is relative? So many different types of life. So many different types of life. But Paul gives us the definition of life here in Colossians 3. We have the very definition of life. Real life. Living. Living life with joy and purpose and fullness. He says there in verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, life with the capital letters, L-I-F-E, a life full, a life free, of condemnation and guilt and sin. A life full of joy. A life full of peace. A life of the greatest quality. A life that you could really live and really enjoy, the life of the greatest quality. And what that quality of life is Christ, an eternal life that's found in Him. And this is defined by God Himself and defined in the Blessed Book of God. Christ is our life. Pride's not a life, but we got it. Sin's not our life, though we got it. Christ is our life. Now that's life. That's real life. And that's what we're talking about. Christ our life. And if you don't have Christ, you may be living, but you don't have life. You may be in doing a lot of things, but you don't have life. And let me tell you how He's our life. First of all, He's the source of our life. He's the source of our life. Look, you keep Colossians. Look over here in John chapter 10. John's Gospel chapter 10. You know, our Lord said, because I live, you shall live also. That's the only He said, because I live, you shall live also. And look what our Master said here. You see, not only is the source of our life, He gave us this life. He had gave us the very life. Christ in you is the hope of glory. And He's the source of all life. I mean, if there's any life in this world, Christ is the source of it. You know, by Him all things are created, and by Him all things live, move, and have their being. And He's before all things, and by Him all things consisted. In Him, beloved, does God made all things by Him and for Him and to His glory. So everything on this earth that you see, hear, touch, taste, and handle, animate or inanimate, was made by the Lord Jesus Christ. Every animal, every vegetable, every inanimate object, everything in the sea, everything, there's all these worlds. There's a heavenly world, there's an earthly world, the sea, the world of the ocean, lots of worlds in this world. And Christ made them all. So if you have life today, just natural life, and if you have blessings today, if you have things that you enjoy and family that you enjoy, it's Christ that gave it to you. You have nothing to contribute to anything. You didn't do anything in your life to live, and you didn't do anything to have anything you got if Christ didn't give it to you. You can be naked in Africa or naked in Papua New Guinea with a bone through your nose, worshiping sticks, stones, and idols if it wasn't for Christ. It's He that gives us life. He's the source of it. And I'll tell you, that's why we bless His holy name. And that's why He said here in John 10:10, look what He says, the thief cometh not. What does he come for? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now who is this thief? That's the devil, of course. But He said, listen, this is what I come to do. Our Master said, I am come that they might have life. Life. And listen to this. That they might have it more abundantly. Did you ever think before you knew Christ that you could have the life that you have? Did you think you could enjoy it so much? Did you think that you could attribute everything in your life to Him? Did you ever think that you could have such joy, such peace, such assurance, such comfort, and such an abundant life, and have so many friends and brothers and sisters all over the United States and world? That He gave you that much life to know all these people and to enjoy the life that you have in Christ? Oh, what an abundant life He's given us. And also, He's the source of our life. And now look over in John 17 just a moment. Oh, everything that we have, especially our spiritual life, that come from Christ. That come from Him. Look what He said here in John 17 and 1. These words spake Jesus, lifted up His eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. Now listen to this. As Thou hast given Him power, authority, the ability to do for people over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now what is this life he's talking about? And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Now our Lord right there told us what life is. He said, I'm coming, I've got power to give eternal life. I'm the only one that can do it. There ain't no place else to go, nobody else to talk to, nobody else that can do it. I've come that they might have this life, and I give eternal life. And what is this eternal life? That first of all, you might know God. Not a God of your met. God who is absolutely sovereign, who's got all power, who can save whom he will or pass by whom he will. He's the potter and we're the clay. He makes some vessels of honor, some to vessels of dishonor. He said, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. So salvation is to know God. Not a God who you can manipulate. Not a God who is bound by your power. Not a God who can't do anything unless you let him. Not a God who has to wait on you to allow him to come into your heart, or allow him to bless you, or allow him to do anything for you. But God, who does all things after the counsel of his own will, that they might know him. And then Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. See, you can't know God unless you know Christ. He says, no man comes unto the Father but by me. Huh? You won't come to God, you're going to have to go through Christ. You won't talk to God, you're going to have to go through Christ. You want to call on God, you're going to have to do it through Christ. You won't worship God, we can only worship him through Christ. Huh? That's what I'm talking about. He's our life. He's the life that I got from God, that God gave me through Jesus Christ. Bless his name. Oh my. You see, it's not I. Paul said, it's not I, but Christ that liveth in me. He said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I that live, but it's Christ that liveth in me. And the life I now live in this body, he said, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I live by Christ. You see, beloved, we were dead in sins, and it's he that quickened us. We were died with him, we lived with him, we're joined with him, just like the vine that's joined to the branches. The moment it's severed from the branch, the vine, it dies. And we only have life as we're joined to Christ. Got to be joined to Christ. Now I'll tell you something else. Not only is he the source of our life, but he's the security of our life. It's one thing for him to give us life and to have us as our life, but how in the world are we going to keep this life? What if he gave it to us and left us up to keeping it? What if he saved us from our sin and left us up to keep up from sin? Oh, see, he's the security of it. Our Lord Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life. And what else he say? They shall never perish. And not only shall they never perish, but he said this, no man will ever pluck them out of my Father's hand. And I was talking to fellows, I've talked to several fellows over the years, and they always say, well, you can take yourself out of your hand. Why in the world would you want to do that? You mean to tell me you can open the hand of Christ? And he says, and the Father, nobody's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand, for the Father which gave them me is greater than all. So we're in the hand of Christ, we're in the hand of the Father. Now how more secure can you be than that? I'm in his hand. They say, well, listen, Lord, please hold my hand. No, don't hold my hand. Hold me in your hands. Me holding his hand and him holding mine is not enough. He's got to hold me in his hands. I don't want to walk along hand in hand with him. I want him to hold me in his hands. And every time you find him with his sheep, you know where he finds them at? You find them on his shoulder, or you find them in his arms. You never find a sheep walking by itself unless it's lost. And when he finds it when it's lost, what does he do? He picks it up and puts it on his shoulder. You never find, only time you ever find a sheep walking by itself is when it's lost. And when Christ finds it, he puts it on his shoulder. That's the kind of Savior we need. One that can save us and keep us saved and carry us all the way. And this is how glorious He is, that He can carry all of His sheep at one time in His blessed arm and His blessed shoulder, because that's how glorious and gracious and mighty He is. He's got sheep all over the world today. You know how many of God's people are worshiping this morning? And He's got every single one of them in His hands. And He's never lost one for whom He died. And let me show you something in John chapter 6. Look, I tell you, I should have just preached from John, I guess, today. We're going over there so much. But let me show you something. That's why our Lord said, He said, Father, of all Thou hast given me, I've not lost a one of them. Not lost a one of them. You know, there's people that think you can be saved and be lost again. There's folks say, well, I got saved again. Oh, my. Oh, my. If Christ ever saves you, Christ ever saves you, He'll only save you one time. And that's enough. See, it's who saves you. It's who saves you. And look here in John 6:37 with me just a moment. All that the Father gives me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out. Now what in the world do you reckon that means? Let me take just a moment and say just a thing or two about that. David looked out one day and saw a woman named Bathsheba. Took her. Got her pregnant. Lost a child. And then had Solomon by her. Had her husband murdered. And you know what his last words were? Do you know what his last words were? Now, if anybody had been cast out, you'd think a murderer and an adulterer would have been cast out. But you know what David says? The Lord hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. And this is all my salvation, all my desire. And old Simon Peter said, I'll die with you, Lord, I'll die with you. And he said, before the rooster crow in the morning, you'll deny me three times. If anybody had been cast out, Peter had been cast out. When Noah got drunk and laid naked in his tent, if anybody had been cast out, God would have cast him out. And I'll tell you something. And if you knew me and my thoughts and the things that I've done since I've been a believer, you'd say God cast him out too. But God, Christ, don't cast His people away. You know why? Because He put away all their sins. He knew what they was when He saved them. He knew what they'd do after He saved them. And beloved, we may do things that surprise us, but He ain't never been surprised by anything we ever done. And ain't you grateful that you got Him to go to, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin? Now, I'm not telling you to go out here and do these things. Those things are written there for our learning, our admonition. Don't do those things. My little children, I write unto you that you sin not. Oh, don't sin. But if any man does, we have an advocate. We have a lawyer. We have one take our case before God. And who is He? Jesus Christ the righteous. Oh, that's what He says when He's done. I'll never cast them out. And that's why folks say, well, you can be lost and saved if Christ ever saves you. No. That's why we need to hear the gospel. That's why the gospel will give you assurance. That's why the gospel will tell you the truth about the way you are and what Christ actually did. We'll make no excuses for ourselves. We won't justify ourselves. For Christ justified us. And we'll come to Him as we are. And then He said in verse 38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And listen to it now. And this is the Father's will which has sent me. Of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Oh, the Old Testament saints were preserved by Him, forgiven by Him, justified by Him, and all because of Him. And Paul said, I'm persuaded that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. He started naming all the things that maybe could. He says, I'm persuaded that neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ. He named over everything. Tribulation, naked, the peril, the sword, don't make any difference. There ain't nothing going to separate Christ from His people. Is that not right? It's God which began a good work in you. He shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And Colossians 3:3 says this, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ, we're at in God. Can you be hid in a better place? All right, He's the security of it. Not only the source of it, the security of it, but He's the sustenance of it. He's the sustenance of it. The sustenance of it. And what I mean by that, I mean, beloved, you know, like in our natural life, we have to have food. People eat breakfast, they eat lunch, they eat dinner. And everything else in between. And then they have to have so much water. You got to have water. Then you got to have sunshine, you got to have rain. You got to keep your body clean. You got all these things. And Christ does, He's ever been in that for us. He said, you know what our Lord Jesus said? He said, I'm that man. I'm that true bread which came down from heaven. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. But I'm that true man. I'm that heavenly bread which came down from heaven. And a man eateth of this bread, he shall never die and shall never hunger again. Once you taste Christ, you ain't wanting nothing else. You're not looking for nothing else. And then our Lord Jesus said, I'm that water of life. He told that woman in the well, said, give me to drink. She said, oh my, I said, you a Jew asking me? He said, if you knew the gift of God, you would have asked of Him and He would have given you a drink of living water. And not only is He the water of life, but He's the light. The light that keeps us out of darkness. And I tell you, beloved, He's that true manna. And He's our bread. He's our water. And we got to keep our bodies clean. It's His blood that cleanses us from all sins. It's His Word that washes us and sanctifies us throughout this life. And let me tell you something. We didn't give ourselves spiritual life. Did anybody here give yourself spiritual life? If you didn't give it to yourself, how in the world are you going to keep it? How are you going to sustain it? As we do naturally, we have all these things in all of our life, our food, our rest. Christ is all this to us. Christ is our all and in all. And to our souls, everything that we need, we get from Him. Everything necessary to our spiritual life. And that's why one of the dear sisters wrote me this morning. She said, boy, I need to be fed this morning. This last Sunday, I need to be fed. Now, I'm one thing can feed a child of God. What if I got up here and told you how you ought to live, and if I told you all the works you need to do, and how obedient you ought to be, and how you ought to go out and start witnessing, and do all this. If I gave you certain dress codes today and gave you dietary codes to keep up with, what good would that do you? The Christ and everything that's... I need rest. Christ is our rest. I need food. Christ is my bread. He said, he that eats my flesh and drinks my blood. How do we eat His flesh and drink His blood? Every time we hear the gospel. We partake of Christ. We partake of His blood. We partake of His water. We partake of the rest that's in Him. And oh my, when we talk about resting, we're talking about ceasing from our own labors. We're talking about not trying to work to get God to bless us anymore. Not trying to get God to do anything for us, or us to do anything to get God to do something for us. Christ done already did that. Huh? Let me tell you something else Christ is to us, is our life. He's the object of our life. Philippians, back over one book, Philippians 1:21. He's the object of our life. He's the object of it. What Paul said here. He's the object of our life. You know, a lot of people have a lot of objects in life. A lot of objects. A lot of things they look at, you know. Catholics have Mary. Chinese have Buddha. Vietnamese have Buddha. Cambodians have Buddha. Muslims got Allah. Everybody's got some kind of object. Something that they worship. And they walk and show you their house. Say, boy, look at this, man. Look what I've done. A woman one time throwed her bank book out, showed me her bank book, said, look at there. She said, boy, you think I ain't got something. That's a pitiful object, ain't it? She's dead and gone now. Left that bank book and all the money behind. Somebody else had to buy her headstone. That's awful. But as objects, people have objects. But look what Paul said here at 1 Philippians 1:21. For me to live is Christ. Oh, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You see, we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than angels. We see Him. How do we see Him? We see Him by faith. I can see Christ as vivid now. Can you see Christ? I can see the Lord Jesus vividly. I can see Him in His Word. I can see Him by the eye of faith. I don't see a physical person. I don't see somebody with blonde hair and blue eyes and a heart, big red heart in him. I don't see that. I don't see somebody bowing and praying, the light shining down on his head. I see a person. I see a person that's not a physical person, but a spiritual person, a glorious person who has power, who has grace, who has love, who has mercy, who has pity, who has kindness, who has compassion, who has forgiveness, who has justification, who has righteousness. I see a person who has everything that I need in this world and the world to come. You ask most people to describe Jesus and they'll start describing a physical person. But oh, listen, when we ask somebody, say, describe Christ to me. Oh, there's such a beauty about Him, I don't hardly know where to start. You know, I believe I start with His righteousness. Because that's what makes me righteous. I believe I start with His power. He had power to come down and bust into my heart and give me a new heart, give me a new will. He had the power to come into my soul and give life to me. He had the power to come and take me and take out that old stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. He had the power to come and take out that old darkened mind and put in a mind that know God. He had the power to come and take me out of darkness and put me into light. He had the power to come and put away all my sin. And He had the power to come and put me in the kingdom of God. And He has the grace and the power to keep me all day, every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and all these years. And He's going to have the power to come and change His vile body and fashion it like unto His glorious body by the working whereby He's able to sue all day unto Himself. Oh, I'm talking about it. We're talking about a person who can save and keep saved and forgive and justify. Oh, we're talking about a person that you can't see. And I'll tell you something else. If you ever see, you can come to Him just like that. How do I get to Him? From here to there. You get to Him without moving a muscle. Some of you going to Him right now. Some of you rejoicing in Him right now. Some of you see Him when I talk about Him that way. You see him right before your eyes. He said, oh, what a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. Oh, my. But now we see him by faith, and we are seeing him by faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And one of these days, we're going to see him as he is. And when we see him as he is, we shall be just like him, he said. Now, I'll tell you something. The Scripture says, I know that in me, that in my flesh dwells no good thing. So when we start looking to ourselves, or anything of this flesh, looking to ourselves, what are you going to find? Despair, discouragement, depression, doubt. But in living by Christ, looking to Him, oh, what joy. What peace. What assurance. We find life with purpose. Life with definiteness. And that's why the disciples, when all they turned away from Him, multitude turned away from Him, looked at His 12 and said, will you also go away? Lord, where in the world are we going to go? You're the ones that's got the words that gives us life and keeps us living. You're the one that does that. And let me show you this quickly. And over in 1 Peter chapter 2, 21. 1 Peter 2:21. He's not only is he the source of our life, the sustenance of it, the object of it, he's our example of it. He's our example. In verse 21, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in His steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. Who when he reviled not again. This is the examples He said. When somebody reviles you, don't turn around and revile them again. When He suffered, He didn't threaten anybody. But He committed Himself to God. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should what? Live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but are now turned unto the shepherd, the bishop of your souls. You see, He's the example. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect man. The only man who ever lived on this life, perfect. He was perfect, sinless, holy, harmless. From the moment He is brought into this world through the womb of His mother Mary until the day He hung on that cross and went to that tomb as a man, He never had one sin His whole life. He obeyed His mother and His father perfectly. He kept the law of God perfectly. He obeyed His Father in heaven perfectly. He loves sinners perfectly. Everything about Him was sinless and perfect. So when we talk about His example, being a perfect man, living this perfect life, what in the world does that mean to us? Well, He's our example, first of all, in submission. Father, not my will, but thine be done. And He calls us to, said, Father, it's your cup. Shall I not drink it? If God gives us a bitter cup to drink, should we not drink it? And say it is from our Father's hands. He's our example in obedience. Oh, to obey the Father. He's our example in humility. He bowed down and washed His disciples' feet. As I've done, you should do also. He's our example in giving. How did He give? Everything. What should we give to Him? All that we have. All that we are. He's our example in prayer. Oh, He prayed. God help us to pray. He's our example in love. Oh, to love as Christ loved. To love just a smidgen of His as He loved. He's our example in forgiveness. Oh, to be able to forgive even as God for Christ's sake forgave us. He was a servant. So, should we be servants? Oh, in so many ways. You see, it's His image we're going to be conformed to. It's His image that God's going to conform us to. And that conformity starts right here on this earth. And let me tell you lastly, And I love this right here. He's the, not only is He our source, our sustenance, our security, the object of our life, example of our life, He's the crown of our life. He's the crown of our life. Look with me. Now, James, right back before you get to 1 Peter. Just go back to James here a minute. Let me show you something. James chapter 1, verse 12. When we talk about crown, everybody's worried about getting their crowns in glory. Well, Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that's why Paul said, I want to know Him. I want to win Him. I want to be found in Him. And if I have Him, that's all that matters. Said on His head are many crowns. And then He gives us some crowns. And this crowns has to do with this life here. Not a life to come. This life right here, right now. And I'll show you that. Look what He said in James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth the temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love Him. Do we have life? Crown us with it. We wear it as a crown. We rejoice in it. We say, this is what Christ gave us, this life. Huh? And all, beloved, as the crown of life. And look what Paul says over in 2 Timothy 4, just a moment. Oh my, I tell you this crown of life, crown of glory. He glorified us with Himself, crown of righteousness. He's gave us righteousness in this world. And we have an incorruptible crown that Christ gave us because it won't corrupt, because we can't even mess it up. That's why Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We have an incorruptible crown. But look what he said here in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto also them that love His appearing. So a crown of righteousness. When we appear there, they say, who are these? Where did they come from? These are they that came out of great tribulation. And they've washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. And that white linen that they're wearing, that's their righteousness that He gave them. What about you? Can you say Christ is your life? Can you say for me to live as Christ and die as gain? Can you say that and really mean it? And then back over in our text, and I'm done. Colossians. Back over in Colossians 3. It says this. In verse 4 again, when Christ our life, thank you, Lord. Oh, bless His name for the life that we have, Christ our life, shall appear. And He's going to come. He's going to appear for us one at a time, or one of these days He's going to appear for all of us at one time. But He's going to appear. And when He appears, look what it says, then you're going to appear with Him too. When He appears before God, you're going to appear before God with Him. When He appears to change our bodies, you're going to appear in that changed body with Him. When He appears to take us to glory, you're going to appear with Him in glory. Huh? And then look what it says. Then you're going to appear with Him. And how are you going to appear with Him? In glory. In glory. Whatever that glory is that He has, that's what He said. He said in John 17:24, He said, Father, I will that they whom Thou gavest me be with me where I am, that they shall behold my glory that Thou gavest me before the foundation of the world. Oh, my. You know, boy, you don't look very glorious now, but He ain't done with me yet.
He ain't through. He ain't through. He ain't through you either. You just don't know. But I tell you what, that's what's so wonderful about when Christ comes to get His people. You know the minute He comes to get them, they're in glory just like that. They're in glory just like that. Just like that. He shall appear, and guess what? Immediately you'll appear with Him. And you'll appear with Him in glory. Just like that. But I see Him. I see Him now. Oh, I see Him. God help you to see Him. God give you eyes to see Him.